Vi afbryder med nyheden om en af de mest dramatiske begivenheder i polarforskningens annaler. Kaptajn Mikkelsen og hans ledsager er i live. Se Against the Ice fra den 2. marts og få hele historien på Netflix.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. Hi, so nice to be talking to you. My name is Gudrun Marie. I'm a journalist with the Danish Daily Politiken.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. And thank you so much for finding the time to talk to me.
Yeah, it's really difficult because now it's again, we have like this alarm because of sky, danger from sky, you know, from jets.
Please let me know if you're safe or not. Okay.
It's fine. I'm safe.
I det her afsnit ringer jeg til ukrainske Pavlo i en storby, der ligger omkring 80 km syd for hovedstaden Kiev. Han er 43 år, og Pavlo er ikke hans rigtige navn, men et navn, han bruger af sikkerhedshensyn. Gennem sit virke i en NGO har han kontakt til unge studerende over hele Ukraine. Og her fortæller han om sin egen torsdag morgen i sidste uge, hvor han sad med sin te og skulle til møde i hovedstaden, da den første eksplosion ramte hans hjemby. Han fortæller om panikken, der brød ud, om køerne ved hæveautomaterne, om de folk, der ville væk. Gennem beskeder og online-møder har han kontakt til de studerende. Som den unge kvinde i grænsebyen, som chokeret så de russiske tanks køre forbi. Den unge mand, der måtte afbryde et Zoom-møde for at komme i sikkerhed i beskyttelsesrummet, mens Paolo og de andre deltagere holdt vejret. Han fortæller også om et land, der står sammen som aldrig før, og som tror på, at de vil sejre, fordi de er nødt til det. Fordi det er den eneste vej til frihed. Og så fortæller han om at blive ramt af en følelse, han aldrig før har oplevet, da krigen brød ud. Det er onsdag, den 2. marts. Mit navn er Gudrun Marie Schmidt, og du lytter til Politikken.
I live in Bila Tserkva. Yes, and since 2011, I run a non-governmental organization here for young people, but it's like voluntary organization. It's active with Erasmus Plus program, mm-hmm. of European Commission. So we organize like seminars in Kyiv for people, young people, students from all over Ukraine. So that's why I'm in contact with a lot of young people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Students, yeah.
Yeah. So where are you right now?
I'm in Bila Tserkva. It's a city 80 kilometers far from Kyiv towards Odessa, so in south direction, southwest.
And how's the Russian invasion affecting this town that you're located in?
The organization Charity Foundation, which I mentioned, is situated in Kyiv. But once a week, I go to Kyiv to office, and I was getting ready to catch my train to Kyiv. But it's really early train, and it was like 5:27 probably. I was drinking my tea, and I heard the huge explosion, like. Yeah, sound of explosion.
We are following the breaking news on the battle for control of Kyiv.
The sound of distant explosions ring out across Kyiv city center. As daylight breaks, the sound of explosions are replaced by air raid sirens.
It is 11 a.m. in the Ukrainian capital, and residents are waking up to scenes like this. An apartment building damaged by what the foreign minister says was a Russian missile strike.
It happened in another part of the city, but the explosion was really loud. Windows and doors shaked. I didn't believe it could happen. But I don't see reason. I still don't see reason why. What it brings to Russia and why it's happening, it's like crazy and madness. So at this morning, it was Thursday, we had like 3 rockets which charged our airport. It's like very old from Soviet time airport for jets, and it was military base there. And it started all over the country. Of course, I didn't go to Kyiv, but the panic started in city. I understood that I really didn't take it seriously, and I was short of cash money. So I took my credit cards to get some cash because I understood that probably it could be collapse of banking system and things like that. And it was a huge queues nearby each ATMs in the city, but I managed to take some money.
Many are also stocking up on food. Long lines and confusion have been common at some grocery stores, and having cash on hand could become vital very soon. ATMs had long lines of people waiting to withdraw money.
And I went to grocery shop to get some food, like more food. Of course, I had it in my apartment, but I understood that it could be not only one day occasion, you know. And it was also panic because people tried to get as much as they can and to put it into the cars and escape the city.
People flee, and those pictures there we're seeing now, live pictures from here in Kyiv, well, they tell the very clear story. Those people are heading one way, and that is out.
Many people around the country have either lost their homes or are abandoning them. Huge traffic jams are slowing them down from entering Poland to the west or escaping to other Ukrainian cities.
Now, on the next day, it was again shellings. So another rocket came here, but another time it wasn't really so hard situation here. Mm-hmm. But everyone was really shocked, surprised, negatively surprised, shocked. And everyone watched the news and, you know, called to relatives and panic. And it's like it was the situation, which affect the city. But yesterday we had again the huge in our city. We had bombing, and they destroyed the dormitory, like totally. It was something really, really heavy. But yesterday, after this panic, I spent the night in bathroom because it was a recommendation that it's the safest place in the apartment, because if something and windows will be blown inside, so you will not be touched by glass if you are in the bathroom. So I spent a night there, and it's not the first night there, and I'm afraid not the last. But in the same time, we planned online seminar for Friday with the students from all over the Ukraine. I was in contact with them because the students were shocked, so they texted that we are bombed, the Russians are here, tanks.
Yeah, because what I understand is that through your organization, you're in contact with a lot of young people all over Ukraine. So can you tell me, what are they going through? What is their situation?
The situation is really terrible because they now in different cities hidden themselves in basements. I lost the contact with one girl in Trostianets, it's Sumy region. I was really worried about her. But now she's back on the contact with us, and she said that city is divided now. So one part of the city, the Russians took over the control, and another part by Ukrainians, they tried to release in the city. But she went through the madness, terrible madness. This, you know, system of rockets like Grad, reactive rockets, and the tanks was passing by because it's on the border of Ukraine and Russia. So they passed it by, and she reported in Telegram to me that like 14 tanks passed by, like 20 tanks passed by, and also these armored vehicles.
So you were telling me about this girl, and you were worried about her because you lost contact, and she was telling you about the tanks passing by.
Yeah.
Do you have any other friends that come into mind whose situation you can tell us about?
Yes, as I said, we had this conversation online. I decided not to cancel, even because of situation. I said that if you want, let's meet together just to support each other, you know, because everyone was in panic. And during this situation, one guy was in Kharkiv, and during the seminar, he showed us the everyone was telling what's going on in the city. Of course, the situation was different in different cities. But he said, okay, look at my window. Can you hear? Can you hear? And it was like boo, 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 bombing explosions in Kharkiv.
We begin this morning with a Fox News alert, an apparent assassination attempt in Ukraine's second largest city, as a missile strikes a government building in Kharkiv.
Meanwhile, shells continue to rain down on Kharkiv, the city's mayor saying Russian rocket fire killed 9 people, including 3 children. New video shows the siege on Kharkiv as it unfolded.
But suddenly he had to escape to this shelter after bombing. So he was also a little bit like shocked.
Yeah, of course. So you were in the middle of a Zoom meeting when he had to leave the room he was Zooming from because it was too dangerous to stay there.
Yes, for him it was too dangerous to stay there, and he ran away. One more girl. She's still there. I hope she's still there. This Nastya, and she's a student in Kyiv, in central part, and there was also clashes. So she spent nights under the dormitory in central of Kyiv. Mm.
I know that you yourself won't be joining the Ukrainian army. Why is that?
It's not like I was going to join the Ukrainian army to defend, because I understand it's not possible because I'm disabled myself, and I just could join this voluntary team for supporting civil unrest troops, which was formed. Why? Because everyone here wants to do everything they can, you know, the population are very united.
The young people you talk with, can you tell me what feelings are dominating in them? Are they angry? Are they frustrated? Are they afraid? Are they disappointed with the West?
What I can say is about my feelings. I never felt something like this, especially yesterday. I don't know the name of this emotion. But before these 5 days, what I can see that the people are really united. They believe in victory. They believe that everything will be good at the end. But of course, everyone is afraid. And also people on Telegram, these my students, they are in panic, of course. I was calling to this girl, which is in Trostenetsum region. She was whispering to the cell phone, and she was crying, of course. And yesterday, then the contact, I get back contact with her. She was also like kind of shocked. Before we all was like united, first reaction panic, then of course we will win, we're gonna win, we do everything for our victory and encourage it, and I still believe we will win, because there is no way, it's only way to survive for our country. Nobody wants back to USSR, nobody wants back, because we understand what is that. We experienced the freedom in Kyiv, in Ukraine, in Kyiv, in Maidan, we stood for this, and now, of course, it's the only way to survive is to win, and we're gonna win. I want to just to take a chance to thank. Maybe with your help, to pass the great thankful words from myself and from anybody I know. They all speak about this, that international community really united together with us, and it's a huge, huge advantage for us. I think this is why we're gonna win.
Thank you so much, and stay safe.
Thank you.
I dag har du lyttet til Politikken brugt klip fra CNN, Guardian og BBC. Den her podcast er produceret af Katrine Eckert Vadsholt. Research, det står Julie Gindrup for, og Nina Krav er redaktør. Det var alt for nu. Mit navn er Gudrun Marie Schmidt, og du lytter til Politikken.